from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Well, you've probably already heard her voice reporting for Iowa Public Radio. And this hour, we meet Kathleen Masterson, the new agriculture reporter for IPR, and hear more about the CPB grant that funds her position. Then the founder of Annie's Project, Ruth Fleck Hambleton, talks about the project's efforts to empower more women to be part of the decision-making process on their farms. Annie's Project is present in 22 states. Then in the second half hour, we get a preview of the 2010 Farm Progress Show from Frank Holdmeyer, a former Farm Progress Show manager. The Farm Progress Show runs tomorrow through Thursday, just outside of Boone. That's all coming up. First, a look at this hour's news. It's The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and our focus over this noon hour is what's new in agriculture. Later in the hour, a preview of the 2010 Farm Progress Show that kicks off tomorrow near Boone. It runs through Thursday. We'll have more details on that later in the hour. First, we want to talk not about new ag policies in the fields, but new ag in the media. And to do that, I want to introduce a new voice you've probably already heard here on Iowa Public Radio. Kathleen Masterson joins us, the new agriculture reporter for Iowa Public Radio in our Des Moines studio. Good afternoon to you, Kathleen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. Welcome to The Exchange for the first time. I hope it will be the first of many times you'll be telling us about new things going on in agriculture and to explain a little bit about your position here, because it is a unique position. I want to introduce another guest to our first part of our program, Tim Lloyd, multimedia editor with Harvest Public Media. Tim Lloyd joins us by phone. Good afternoon, Tim.
Hi.
Hi. So let's start with you. Harvest Public Media, explain what that is and how Kathleen fits into it and how she fits into servicing not only Iowa Public Radio, but other public radio.
Sure. Harvest Public Media is a grant-funded project by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and it brings together public radio and public television in the Midwest, and we'll be focusing on issues related to agriculture and biofuel and looking at whole systems, so entire food systems and fuel systems, and really trying to make the connect from the producer end to the consumer end. And what Kathleen's going to be doing is reporting on issues in Iowa that affect everyone here in the Midwest and nationally as well.
Mm-hmm. So we will be hearing Kathleen's work, but so also will these other states, Kansas, Missouri, and so forth, hearing Kathleen's work, and also we'll be hearing from their reporters.
That's absolutely right.
And so it's sort of an exchange program. Mm-hmm. Why was Harvest Public Media called into being? Why was it needed?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I think, you know, it's hard to find a topic, at least in the Midwest, that's more rapidly evolving and affects as many people as agriculture and biofuel. It's so central in our everyday lives and also in just our economy. So what we want to do is really enhance the quality of journalism that's out there for people and make sure that our audience, the American people, have access to really high-quality journalism on a topic that really affect their everyday lives.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about new media as it fits into this picture. Harvest Public Media's website is scheduled to launch in October, I understand, and you are the multimedia editor of the project. Explain how multimedia will be part of this Harvest Public Media.
Well, we want to use it in a way that will really enrich the storytelling process. So that might mean pairing a video or a clickable slideshow or a graphic or even a quiz with a story that maybe Kathleen produces. Also, we want to use it to be more transparent in our reporting. We're really excited to have a tool that will allow us to, for example, embed entire reports into the text of a story. So if we cite a piece of research, we want to make it, you know, easy for the user to get to the actual research report and see where we got our information and be more transparent in our reporting process.
Now, Kathleen Masterson, I understand you worked for NPR on the digital side at the science desk, so you're well aware of the multimedia, its possibilities in your reporting position here as well.
That's right. Yeah, I did. I was a digital producer for the Science Desk, which involves a whole slew of things. Like a lot of media outlets, NPR is really experimenting with how to best make use of multimedia content in ways that best serve the public and best communicate information. Mm-hmm. So I've worked on everything from producing audio slideshows, which is using pictures, photographs paired with audio to tell a story, using graphics to present data. Numbers are something that's a little bit tricky to handle on the radio. There's only so many you can say before people tune out, and it's really that's something we can portray visually really nicely, especially for people who heard the story and want more information and, or as Tim said, want to know where those numbers came from. Mm-hmm. They can check those out online. And interactivity, that's a big bonus of working online, is if people want to comment on a story. If, for example, I've developed, when we were working on some of the covering the climate change conference, developed an interactive map where you could click on different countries to see their CO2 emissions, their carbon dioxide emissions, as well as their population and then their per capita emissions and the predicted growth. So there's a lot of tools we have online that we can use to better portray information. In addition to radio stories. So they, and I like to think that they blend really well together and complement each other.
Now, the Harvest Public Media website will be launched in October, as I mentioned. Will all this, all that you, the fabulous things that you've been describing, Kathleen and Tim, be up and running in October, or will it be a building process once it's launched as well?
Well, I think it's going to be a development process. I mean, we look at technology as a game without a buzzer. So we're always developing. And the best thing that we can do for our audience is to start playing with the lead. That said, you know, it's new, so we'll certainly, we have plans, big plans for the future. But initially, we'll try and put up as much, you know, multimedia content as possible. But I think the real trick is to really ramp it up and to make sure that we keep producing high-quality multimedia well into the future.
Kathleen Masterson, what are the, some of the topics you're burning to get at and report on here in Iowa as our agriculture reporter?
Yeah, well, I was a great spot to be as an agriculture reporter. I think a lot of ag issues are really getting national attention, as they should. And some of the things in particular I'm looking into, one, certainly how, what's the future of farming? Where is it going? Iowa itself is, has a lot of farmers who are poised for retirement, and what's going to happen to those farms? Iowa has a lot of pride in their farms and their communities, and has, I know, has a vested interest in that. Certainly, I'm interested in the business side of farming. Increasingly, that's very important. And again, biofuels are big in Iowa. I'm definitely looking into that. And increasingly, farming is becoming a more technological and scientific endeavor. So I think there are a lot of stories to be found in some of the research and what new tools, all the way down to the molecular level, that farmers can implement.
I have to believe you'll be traveling all around the state as well.
Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things happening in every corner of the state that I'm looking forward to exploring.
We have a few minutes left. I wanted to, Kathleen, you heard that we're going to be getting a preview of the Farm Progress Show. I know you're going to be there. The kickoff is tomorrow through Thursday. What stories are you interested in specifically at the Farm Progress Show this year?
Right. Well, there's a lot of good things happening. It draws over 250,000 people, so it'll be a great chance to just get out and see what's happening in the state. Specifically, Iowa State University is doing a neat little presentation on how buffer zones, planting rather than just crops on all of your land, planting a buffer zone with some sort of natural grasses can reduce erosion in soil. So I think that'll be interesting to check out. The Annie's Project that I know you'll be talking with later on the show is also doing a presentation. That project is specifically designed to help women operators of farms learn the business side, learn farm management. It's a an ongoing project, and it's pretty much user-designed what kinds of courses they are interested in having. So I'll definitely be checking that out. There's some biofuels presentations. Iowa is one of the biggest biofuel producers, so that will be interesting to see where technology is taking us there. And certainly, last but not least, the world's largest tractor will be at the show. So
I've heard of this. This is what, Big Bud or something? Is
Big that, Bud, yeah.
Big Bud
yeah.
is his name. So to give us an idea, a picture in our minds, how big is this tractor? Do you know yet?
Yeah, from the pictures that I've seen, it looks to be about a story and a half tall. It kind of looks like a bigger than a mini trailer home.
Mm-hmm. I guess the really crucial question as far as Big Bud goes in my mind is, does it crush things, Kathleen?
You know, this is an important question that I can't specifically answer, but my guess is going to be yes. I'll have to report back on that.
Okay. I'm picturing something like Godzilla versus King Kong, a duel with a monster truck. That's what I have in my mind.
Right.
But
I think
perhaps you'll report back. You can
report
back what it's like to sit in the seat of the world's largest farm tractor. And anybody can see this at the 2010 Farm Progress Show near Boone. Tim Lloyd, let me ask you this before we go away in a couple minutes. Is there a concern when this two-year grant has expired that you'll think, oh, we've just gotten started, Kathleen's doing so great, as well as all of the other reporters as part of the Harvest Media Public Media Project? Will it possibly just stop after 2 years, or is this sort of seed money for something to continue on for decades?
Well, sure, and that's a great question. Part of the grant requires that we develop a plan for sustainability, and we're certainly in the process of doing that right now. We really hope to see this, the two-year part of this grant, really as startup money for something that will, you know, we'll be able to keep going well into the future. And, you know, it's such a great idea. You know, it's a great service to be able to provide our audience, you know, with stories on really issues that affect their lives on a daily basis. So we certainly hope to keep this going well into the future.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as a linchpin into making this successful? Both you and Kathleen, I'd like to have you answer this. Tim, you first, please.
Well, I think the linchpin in making it successful is ultimately connecting with our audience. I mean, that's what it's really all about. If we can find ways through, whether it's our digital platform or our broadcast platform, if it's developing partnerships with other news organizations, mm-hmm. whatever it takes to really stay relevant with our audience, I think the money will find its way to us as long as we produce really high-quality journalism.
And Kathleen?
Yeah, I agree with Tim. The one thing that popped into my mind is connecting with the audience, not only serving them and presenting important stories that may not be getting coverage in other places, but also using the multimedia aspect as a way to get audience feedback, get story ideas, hear about things that we might not otherwise hear about. I think the forum is a really great place to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of several local journalism centers being launched across the country. I'm speaking of Harvest Public Media. Where are the other ones? What are their focuses?
Well, there's seven total, and the idea behind the Local Journalism Center project is to put these centers in places where, or geographically put them in places where they'll be able to cover a topic that's really you know, relevant to their location. So just to give you an example, there's one in the Southwest that's kind of ramping up right now that will cover immigration. There's one in the Northeast where there are a lot of tech companies, and they'll be covering, you know, the way technology is affecting the economy in upstate New York and really nationally. So there's seven total. They're covering a really a wide range of topics from, like I mentioned, immigration and technology.
We have to go now. Thank you very much for that overview. Tim Lloyd, multimedia editor with Harvest Public Media. Our own Kathleen Masterson, new Iowa Public Radio agriculture reporter. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
And when we come back, we'll talk to the founder of Annie's Project, Ruth Fleck Hambleton. When we come back, this is The Exchange. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and we want to find out from those of you who've been to a Farm Progress show, tell those of us who haven't, what's so great about it? Why do you go back again and again? What are the highlights for you? Call now, and we'll be talking in 15 minutes with more in-depth about the Farm Progress show. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Our email, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Looking for what your remembrances are, the highlights, what keeps you going back to the Farm Progress Show. Kicking off tomorrow, this year's in Boone, near Boone. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. And we'll have a comprehensive preview of the 2010 Farm Progress Show in about 15 minutes with Frank Holdmeyer. But first, Annie's Project, which is presenting seminars every day of the Farm Progress Show. Annie's Project is a nonprofit educational program dedicated to strengthening women's roles in the modern farm enterprise. Currently, classes are being taught in 22 states. Joining us now by phone, Ruth Fleck Hambleton, founder of Annie's Project and the daughter of Annie. Good afternoon to you, Ruth Fleck Hambleton. Thank you for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, and good afternoon to everyone.
I understand upon your retirement, in 2009. You founded this project, Annie's Project. Why?
Oh, well, I brought it with me. It was a job that began, or the program began, while I was working as an extension educator for the University of Illinois Extension. And upon my retirement, I just found it convenient to go ahead and make it a not-for-profit and focus totally on the needs of farm women for their educational needs.
So why did you feel this kind of training was needed for women today?
Well, it's a request. It's a demand-driven program that women have been asking for several years. And at the first Annie's Project in 2003, we realized that we found a combination that's very successful in meeting these educational needs of women who own farm ground, who are farmers, who are going to marry into these farm operations. We just found a combination that proved to be very valuable to them.
Tell us a little bit about the life of your mother, Annie's life. What was it life like for her on the farm, and what decades would this have covered?
Well, my mother was married to her farmer for 5 decades. Her background is she grew up in a small town in northern Illinois. The name of the town is Frankfort, for those who might know the name. She always relayed a story to me about how she wanted to marry a farmer. Her love of the farm came from visiting her grandparents' farms on the outskirts of town, and she just knew she always wanted to be in that business. So she met my dad, who was a farmer outside of the town of Frankfort there, married him 4 children later, 50 years later. She had reached her goal of being married to a farmer. Now, the reason why she is the mentor, the muse, why she is the inspiration for Annie's Project is she wasn't anything extraordinary. She was she helped out on the farm. We had a dairy operation. We had an egg route in the Chicago area. So she was very much involved with the day-to-day labor of the farm operation. But where her real strength was just in the management of a farm operation. She was the record keeper. She had to be the manager of the family, of the 4 children. And she just let those records really give her a lot of guidance. So she's the inspiration for the program. And I try to not to hold her up as anything of a superhero. To me, of course, she is.
Oh, of course, Mom always is.
Yeah, of course. But I want other women to realize that she was just a woman who wanted to marry a farmer. She did, and she had to make her way. Mm-hmm. So when we put the program together, I thought about her, and it's very much designed around a woman like my mother.
Mm-hmm. So what are the challenges that women farmers have these days that perhaps your mother didn't have to face?
Yeah, oddly enough, I think a lot of the challenges that my mother faced are still in existence today. Some of those challenges would be just managing the finances on the farm, always a challenge. When you've got a lot of money, it's hard, and when you don't have much money, it's hard. So just the challenges of finances,
mm-hmm.
The challenges of there's a bias that women cannot physically run farms, that they can't be the productionist. So a woman in charge of a farm operation is sometimes looked on as not capable, not up to the task of that job. So there's just that bias that exists out there. Of course, the legal issues are much, much more now than they were when my mother was running the farm operation. And it was about in that time of the early 60s, late 60s, early 70s, when the legal stuff started coming in, the regulations started coming into the farm operation. So there's all that kind of stuff that needs to be managed and understood and learned every year for the new stuff that comes in. Of course, there's always the challenge of the marketing. My mother was the marketer for the farm, and she was very good about monitoring prices and understanding patterns. So, you know, I don't care how old or young you are in these farm operations, the market is just a different animal that we have to manage. Every year is different. Every year presents its own set of circumstances. And even with experience, sometimes it's tough to manage that stuff.
Ruth Fleck Hamilton, founder of Annie's Project, daughter of Annie, presenting seminars every day at the Farm Progress Show beginning tomorrow near Boone. And you describing all these very valuable things that people working on a farm need to know. Ruth. But I'm wondering, you know, what is it only for women? Can men get into these classes at all?
We have had men join our classes, but I will be honest with the men, is when they join the classes, it does change the dynamics of how these classes are run. So we do let men know that they can sign up for it because we teach nothing different than any other class would teach it. So say financial records, we're not creating any special curriculum, but we are teaching it in a way that women learn. And the way women learn is we like to talk a lot. We share our experiences. Men, on the other hand, they tend to listen and then take the information home, think about it, and then implement it. Women, we're more immediate. We want to talk about it, share our experiences, and sometimes those two styles of learning are in conflict. So, you know, men, you're welcome to come, but just, you know, if you're going to be in our kitchen, you got to take our heat, is, I guess, is what we really tell them.
So the fear, the concern is that that men enter this educational environment and the women clam up because they're not just among women, huh?
Women clam up, and the men just aren't quite as comfortable as sharing their feelings as much as the women are. So it's kind of uncomfortable for both sides. But, you know, by creating the environment where the women can be comfortable, just a wonderful dynamic begins between the instructors and amongst the participants of Annie's Project. It's just a real enlightening program.
Now, your mother passed in 1997. What would she have thought of this effort? She would have been proud of you, I'm sure.
She would have been so proud. You know, my mother was a hard worker, and you know, sometimes the praise was few and far between for her. I think she would be extremely honored to know that there's so many women that share her background, her love of farming. Just the woman, to her dying day, loved what she was doing on these farm operations. And she's passed that along to me and to my sister as well. And we are just so pleased to be able to bring it to women everywhere through our program of Annie's Project.
Annie's Project classes are being taught in 22 states. Is that right?
That is correct.
How widespread? Is this a Midwestern thing?
Well, most of our states are located in the Midwest, and we are expanding into the Northeast. The southern states have discovered us here in the last couple of years, and they're doing an excellent job adapting the program to those kinds of farm operations that exist in other parts of the country here. But no matter where you are in the country, there's always seems to be this undercurrent of situations that farm and ranch women everywhere have to deal with. And so these programs, by adapting them to these other states, we're able to bring the program to a much broader audience.
Annie's Project, only about a year old. What's your hope for Annie's Project in the future, 5 or 10 years from now?
Oh, I'm hoping to be nationwide and even have an international component into it by then. We started the program in 2003, so we're 7, 8 years old into the process right now. And in our first 7, 8 years, we've managed to get 7,000 women through the program. So just multiply that times 3, and that looks like my 5 and 10 year horizon.
Okay, very good. Tell us where we can find Annie's Project on the web.
All you have to do is just Google Annie's Project. It'll be the very first link that pops up. Or you can type in anniesproject.org. There's no abbreviations or hyphenation. No apostrophe in that. It's just anniesproject.org.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'll find us there. So we invite you to stop by our tent. We'll be at the Rural Life Tent presenting at 11 o'clock. And our topic is going to be on women's roles in farm transition. So if you'd like to be involved in a lively conversation, please join us.
Ruth Fleck Hamilton, thank you very much. A preview of the 2010 Farm Progress Show. When we come back in just a few minutes, this is The Exchange. It's great to have you with us on this edition of The Exchange over the noon hour. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk with Taha Tawil, the imam for the Mother Mosque of America, which has been part of Cedar Rapids since 1934. The imam Taha Tawil tomorrow on this program. Then a conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Marilyn Robinson of the University of Iowa's Writers' Workshop. In her new book, Absence of Mind, Robinson takes up the religion versus science debate, challenging those who crusade against religion under the banner of science. Tomorrow on this program, today, we're talking about new things in agriculture, and the 2010 Farm Progress Show kicks off tomorrow. It runs through Thursday, just outside of Boone in Iowa. If you want to find out more information, farmprogressshow.com is where you can go on the web. Farm Progress Show is the nation's leading outdoor farm show. It features the most extensive state-of-the-art information and technology for ag producers, the country's top agribusinesses, plus many regional and local manufacturers and suppliers are regular exhibitors at the Farm Progress Show. Joining us now to talk in more detail about the 2010 show, Frank Holdmeyer, executive editor for Farm Progress Midwest Publications, also a former Farm Progress Show manager at our studios in Des Moines. Frank Holdmeyer, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
A lot of people listening, I'm sure, have never been to a Farm Progress Show. Describe it to them. What would an everyday person going out who is interested in agricultural practices, technology, find out there?
Well, I think you said it very well in terms of people interested in agriculture. That's one of the reasons the show is held on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because it is for people who are interested in agriculture and farmers and so forth. And so even though the general public would find some things of interest because there are various programs that are not strictly agriculture, it is really designed for those who want to see the latest technology, not only in equipment, but in seed production, livestock production. And I can tell you that it is amazing, really, what technology has to offer these days.
So does it have sort of a fair atmosphere as you walk across the grounds?
I would say to some extent, yes, because, you know, there are exhibits, there are tents and so forth, but it really is a professional show. I mean, you know, there are no carnivals, no rides and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, you know, very professional. And there are some exhibitors who do have entertainment to try to attract people into their exhibit, but so it's a little bit like a fair, but not really.
Are you aiming for all people interested in agriculture, but from the small scale farmer to the larger people? Are you interested in people who might run a few acres as a CSA, for instance?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes people accuse the show of being only for big farmers, and that's not true. Obviously, we have the biggest and best and latest technology, because that's what the show is all about, to showcase that type of thing. But it is of interest to anyone who is interested in agriculture. There are a lot of companies these days who produce, say, smaller compact tractors and so forth for those who have an acreage and don't need the big equipment. Again, there's also, you know, the seed technology and those type of things that would apply to any size operation.
We want to reach out to our exchange listeners, people listening who've been to the Farm Progress Show. Tell us about your experiences there. What were the highlights you found at the Farm Progress Show? What are you interested in finding out about? You can ask Frank Holdmeyer if perhaps your interest, your specific interest in agriculture, will be represented there. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Our email, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And we're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Frank Holdmeyer will be with us until the top of the hour, so we have a few minutes. Executive editor for Farm Progress Midwest Publications, Frank Holdmeyer. Tell us a little bit more about the attendance here. Over the 3 days, the coming 3 days, how many people you expect to be in this on this site near Boone?
Well, as Dina Morgan pointed out earlier on your show, we don't release official attendance figures, but state police over the years who try to estimate crowds and so they can plan traffic and so forth. Talk in terms of 150,000, 200,000 attendees over 3 days. And we know from past surveys in our parking lots and so forth that we've had had people from more than 40 states attend any one Farm Progress Show in recent years. Plus, we also have a huge contingent of international visitors anymore. I think last year we had international visitors registered from more than 50 countries. So it's not only the largest farm show in the United States, it also attracts a lot of international visitors who want to come and see what technology is available.
With all those visitors, all those international visitors needing roof over their heads for the time that they're here, there must be some a nice economic impact for the state, for the community that hosts the Farm Progress Show.
Oh, absolutely. I don't, you know, the Des Moines Convention and Visitors Bureau could probably tell you what it has meant in the past, but that's been one of the benefits of the Foreign Progress Show over the years is, and if I could digress a moment, we used to rotate the show between Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana and set up on a new farm each year, and that was one of the benefits of the show, bringing all this economic benefit to the local community. So now that we have these permanent sites, and I can go into, you know, why we did that as well, but definitely, as you say, with all the visitors, you know, buying gas, meals, and hotels, and then the exhibitors are on site for maybe as much as a month before and a week or so afterward, you know, setting up and tearing down. So that also, continues to offer the economic benefit.
Of course, the big focus of the Farm Progress Show every year, new kinds of technologies, new practices on display. What are we going to see that popped out as you as most interesting in terms of new technologies we'll be seeing, new practices?
Well, there are almost too many to mention, so to speak, but the world's largest combine, for example, the Lexion Combine, will be at the Farm Progress Show.
How big is that?
It's a Class 5 combine, and right offhand, I don't have the horsepower and so forth in front of me, but it is, as I said, world's largest combine. But and then, as also mentioned earlier, just as kind of an attraction is the Big Bud tractor, and you know that's been around a long time, but it's never been at the Farm Progress Show before. But beyond that, just the technology that is available to install on tractors and combines in terms of auto steering and rear view cameras and sensors that let you know what's going on with the crop and what's going on with your machinery. And the interesting thing is that, well, I compiled a list, and I remember it's probably at least two dozen things along those lines of technology that are going to be introduced at this year's show for the first time. And a lot of that is really high-tech, type technology.
Mm-hmm. I see in the lineup narrow row corn, a different sort of practice planting corn. What's that about? Can you tell us?
Yes. Part of first of all, we have 380-acre fields that will be used for harvest demonstrations. And one of them, one of those 80 acres was planted in twin rows, which is narrow row corn, versus a traditional 30-inch row. And the notion here is, of course, to try to increase yield by a higher plant population. And so visitors will be able to see that crop harvested and find out how well it does yield-wise compared to the standard 30-inch rows.
Mm-hmm. There's some USDA research going on as well, or at least we can learn about it at the Farm Progress Show. Tell us about that, the nitrogen management I'm looking at.
Yes. That is, part of the Farm Progress Show is, partnerships with people like that to do different research and report on it at the show. And as I mentioned earlier, talking about nitrogen management, there are products out there now that you can actually drive down the row with a device and see how well your plant is utilizing nitrogen, and then you'll know whether you need to add more or
for those of us who don't really know about nitrogen, tell us the importance of nitrogen in corn production, for instance.
Well, it's probably one of the key components in terms of fertility for a corn plant, and it has to be managed very well, first of all, in terms of the environment. We don't want to apply more nitrogen than necessary so that it leaches, into the waterways and so forth, and yet it is required for the corn plant to grow and produce a yield. So it's an essential part of the fertility program, but as I said, we need to really manage it so that we don't overuse it and cause harm to the environment.
And part of this new research is about how to stabilize nitrogen so we don't get those losses of nitrogen. Is that right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's some people apply nitrogen in the fall. In that case, you want to use a nitrogen stabilizer so it attaches to the soil and stays there. And same way in the spring, it's stabilization is an important component of making sure that it doesn't go where it's not supposed to.
Frank Holdmeyer is with us talking about the 2010 Farm Progress Show, which kicks off tomorrow, runs through Thursday just outside of Boone, Iowa, and runs for the 3 days. To find out more, all the details about the Farm Progress Show, by going to www.farmprogressshow.com. What does it cost to get in? You know offhand?
$10 for adults, $5 for 13 to 17, and under 12 is free. And if I might follow up on what you just commented about the show site, I would like to invite folks to go to the farmprogressshow.com site and check out the interactive map section. This is something new this year, and it's really, really phenomenal. One can go there and actually map out your day at the show. And also find out if specific exhibitors are there. So, for example, if you want to see all the people that have irrigation equipment or balers or whatever, you just click on that topic, and it will show you all the exhibitors that have that equipment, and also where they're located on the exhibit field. And then, as I said, you can map out your day. You can print out an agenda, say, we're going to go to KSIH at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to be at such and such at 11, and, oh, yeah, we're going to meet our son at the food court at noon. And it's just a phenomenal. It's really, again, speaking of technology, it's a great way to map out the day at the show. And then also, and I've experienced this firsthand, a lot of times after a show, somebody will call and say, you know, I was at the show and I saw so-and-so, but I've lost my program and I don't know how to get hold of them. Well, the site will still be up after the show. If you want to get back in touch with an exhibitor you saw there, you go back to the interactive map site. It'll give you the address and phone number and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really useful tool.
Interesting. And it's just coming from someone who is a former Farm Progress Show manager. You've dealt with all the logistics of a big show like this. Give us an idea of the biggest challenges you face just putting on something like this.
Well, of course, when I was show manager, it was back in the 70s, so it was maybe even a little more challenging then than now. But a lot of it is just planning and logistics and those sorts of things. Our current show team has met many times over the past year with local law enforcement people to plan the traffic routes. And, in fact, I'd like to mention that they have made some improvements in the traffic routes this year. For example, buses and campers won't be mixed in with the regular traffic. And I know that some folks coming from the north 2 years ago on Highway 17 were routed around kind of a circuitous route to the parking lot, and they didn't appreciate that. And that was basically because of a railroad that runs up there. But we've worked that out, and so they won't have to do that circuitous route. Also, food service is important, and this year we're going back to kind of our earlier format on food service, where local people provide the food and retain all the profits. In more recent years, we've worked with, say, a commercial caterer, and now that we have these permanent sites, we can kind of go back to leaving more profit in the community. And so that, you know, Boone County cattle producers and pork producers and churches and so forth are doing the food service this year. So that'll also help benefit the local community.
Any food on sticks there too?
I don't think so.
Going to use the good old forks and knives, huh?
Absolutely. And of course, a lot of it is sandwiches, you know, pulled pork sandwiches and that sort of thing. But, we're not going to steal from the state fair on a stick idea.
Frank Holdmeyer, you've been involved with this Farm Progress Show for many, many years, also managing it, as we mentioned, back to the 70s. When you look back at the highlights, what comes to mind is a particular highlight that will stand out and you'll cherish?
Oh, in terms of my own experience?
Exactly, a personal story.
Well, I think, again, I guess going back to 1974, the first Farm Progress Show I managed, a highlight that year, and it might be a little bit comparable to Big Bud being there this year, but John Kinzenbaugh, Kinsey Manufacturing, brought a twin-engine tractor to the Farm Progress Show and pulled a, I think it was a 12-bottom plow, and that was well, it was, you know, it was a sort of a homemade type tractor, but he attracted a lot of attention, and that's just, you know, one of the inventions that he has made over the years. But I guess highlights, really, it's just working with people, something I enjoy, and you get to meet a lot of people, not only in, you know, planning the show and preparing for it, but during the show. And that's one of the reasons we have a hospitality tent on the show site, where editors and other staff are available to meet with people, to get story ideas, and even hear complaints. And they also come here to check on subscriptions and buy subscriptions. And while I'm thinking about that, too, I heard you talk about Twitter earlier. Farm Progress Show is on Facebook and Twitter, and we will be updating those things regularly during the show as well. So people who can't make it to the show will be able to kind of keep up with what's going on through the social media.
Mm-hmm. How has the Farm Progress Show changed over time in major ways? That when you compare this back to your experience in the 1970s, that's maybe 40 years ago. So spend an hour in the 1970s Farm Progress Show and then be able to walk right into a 2010 show, what would be apparently different?
Well, in many ways it would be the same, but the differences would be, again, now with the permanent sites, you know, we have paved streets and we have permanent restrooms. And I guess another big difference, back in the 70s when I was managing the show, we put in a huge bank of pay telephones. And sometimes the lines for the pay telephones were even longer than for the restrooms. And, of course, now these days you wouldn't see anything like that. Everybody has cell phones, BlackBerries, and so
hard
forth.
Hard to find a pay phone. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely, yeah. You won't find a pay phone on site. And then, again, same thing. You see people walking around with cell phones and a lot of FM radios. Back when I managed the show, we probably had two or three CB walkie-talkies, and that was the only way we communicated among ourselves. So, go ahead.
I don't know how you mentioned this huge combine that was going to be at the show this year, and looking when I'm driving along the highways, looking at the combines that work out in the fields, I'm always dazzled by how marvelous they look and what kind of technology the operators have at their fingertips. What's a modern cabin look like? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, in some respects, I guess you might compare it to a cockpit of a 747, because it's all very high tech. There are monitors to show what various parts of the combine are doing, how everything is set, and if it's working properly. And there's how many acres have you covered? How many bushels have you harvested? What's the moisture content? All these things showing up on the screen. And
so you can be, as a farmer, you can be a total geek in one of these.
Oh, absolutely. Many modern combines also have what they call a buddy seat, too. In the old days, there was no place for a passenger or dad to ride with his son or whatever to teach him the ropes. Now most of them have a buddy seat so that somebody can ride along in safety and in comfort. Mm-hmm. And, you mentioned changes, too. So back in those days, we were still doing some corn picking and harvesting corn on ears, which isn't done anymore. But
I wanted to ask you about that because, of course, part of farm progress happens, and it's driven by, well, the economy, by the need to be more efficient. But then also when we bring in new technology, we see, of course, over the period that you've observed the Farm Progress Show, that some jobs become obsolete. How do you draw a balance between efficiency with new technologies and the need for farmers, for people to actually be out there connected with the land?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up and mentioned the word efficiency, because that's what it's all about. If we're going to continue to feed the world, so to speak, and with the population growth that we're looking at and so forth, we have to be efficient because, you know, to use the cliche, that we're not making any more land. And so we have to be able to produce more from the land, produce it efficiently, and do that at a cost that a farmer can make a living at.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm talking about is we want our farmers and our communities to be connected with the land, not have a feeling like it's something else out there outside the cities, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that I wish we could do a better job of, is communicating to non-farm people and so forth what's involved in you know, living on the land, and what it takes to grow a crop, and what it means in terms of the cheapest food in the world and the safest food in the world and some of those things.
Mm-hmm. Will the, is the egg recall play any part in the Farm Progress Show this year? Any impact there?
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. It doesn't impact any of the producers. All right. We 30 seconds left. Have we forgot to mention anything, Frank?
No, I had a whole list of things that we want to make sure people don't want to miss, like the health and safety tent, the seminars, the cattle handling demonstrations. We'll also have herding dog demonstrations.
Herding dogs. Ooh, that would be something for me. I'll be out there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I've got a herder myself. That's why I'm interested.
Well, then
in that.
You better come on out and see how they. This time they won't be herding sheep as we've done in the past. They'll be herding steers.
Okay.
And so,
thank you, Frank Holdmeyer. Thank you very much for spending the time, giving us a preview of the 2010 Farm Progress Show to begin tomorrow. Frank, thank you so much for coming into our studio.
Thank you for having me.
More information about the Farm Progress Show kicking off tomorrow, running over the next 3 days, www.farmprogressshow.com. The Exchange is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Lindsay Moon. Technical support from Dennis Reese. We also had help from John Pemble in Des Moines. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.